So hi, Wind Walkers Podcast. I'm Shane.
I'm Glory.
And we're here with...
I'm Trevor from Wind Walkers.
And we have some questions there about the upcoming album, What If I Break. So congrats on that, by the way. How do you feel about the response, the announcement so far?
It's been great. It's been a little weird start, you know, when we first dropped the music, you know, but people kind of eased into what we're going to sound like now. And it's been an awesome response.
Hell yeah. Seen a lot of people online talking about it, excited for the record. The album fucking rips.
It's so fucking good.
you guys, Editor's probably sent it to you, huh?
Yeah. We've gotten it out 4 times. She has been putting it in the inbox.
You guys dig it.
I saw her tweeting about it today. She's like, I can't believe Wind Walkers waited this long to drop an album of the year contender. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to take your word for it.
Better late than never, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So is there any meaning behind the album title or cover art?
Yeah, a little bit. So when we first started writing the album, we definitely didn't intend to write an album. We wanted to just, like, you know, get a few singles prepped at a time and just release those over a few months. You kind of got like a theme throughout it. You know, I write very personal lyrics, just about issues that I've dealt with in the past, emotional, you know, just relationships with people and myself and all that. The name actually came, if you guys probably heard it, from the last track, The Bends, which was the last song we wrote on the album. And it just kind of felt like it summed it all up. So we took that tagline from the chorus. And as far as like the album art that kind of like fits with it, you know, it's a Kintsugi is what it's called, where, you know, if you break a pot or whatever, you know, you fuse it a little stronger with gold. And yeah, it just kind of symbolizes, you know, like things can break you, but you can always come back stronger from it.
Gotcha.
Sure.
In a vague sense.
Yeah. And, you know, you mentioned that the process for this originally started with singles and then it eventually morphed into an album. So at what point in the process did you guys decide that you were writing a record, not just singles?
Yeah, it was actually after our third single, Drowning Hymns. We a lot of people were asking for an album. Can't wait for the album to come out. And we're like, yeah, okay. but at that point, we just kind of found ourselves in a situation where we had a whole album written. And our biggest thing with us being independent is we just really wanted to see how far we can go by ourselves. And that's the best way to test it, in my opinion. You know what I mean? So yeah, we're just like, let's give it a rip. Let's see what happens. And so far, so good. It's been a really fun process for sure.
Gotcha. Huh.
So you just kind of looked up and you just had an album's worth of songs ready.
Yeah. Yeah. So like,
damn.
So I live in Washington and Washington State. Everyone else lives in Massachusetts and we record in Michigan. It's like right in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
So anytime we like would do a trip, we're just trying to bang out as many songs as possible. A lot of times the guys will go out there with the producers, write some instrumentals, and then I'd write vocals to them by myself. And then we'd come together and yeah, each trip, you know, we'd end up finishing, you know, 3 songs or so. So yeah, we weren't releasing them that fast. So it just kind of caught up to us a little bit, I guess you could say.
Fair enough. So,
great.
You know, the fans wanted a record. You guys had the songs done. So now we're here, essentially.
So let's do it. Exactly.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
Exactly.
So can you tell us a little bit about your writing process for the record?
Yeah. So I kind of write a little weird. I like to write in my car a lot, like when I'm driving to work and just, you know, grocery store and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Mainly because, you know, I got a couple kids, so I can't just be sitting here belting, you know, when I get free time, waking them up. And, you know, like, yeah. I say, like, I have a neighbor's call the cops, you know, if I'm like sitting here screaming and shit. So,
yeah.
It just kind of gives me an opportunity to really test my vocals out, you know, and kind of write subconsciously almost, because I'm always writing like the melodies and the pacing first. And a lot of times I'll just have lyrics just kind of fall out and it can be a pretty introspective, you know what I mean? Where I just, a lyric comes out, I'm like, what does that mean? You know? And I start thinking about it. I'm like, okay, there we go. That's a good course to go with the meaning of the song. So that's how I wrote like damn near all this album, was just in my car listening to the demos.
Damn. So you're the type of person who can just write wherever, whenever. You don't have to like create a writing environment per se.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like a lot of the songs, when they're written, I have to sit there, like, we did like the lyrics for the vinyls and everything. I didn't have them written down anywhere.
Like, shit.
I hold them in here, you know, and that can not be good sometimes, you know, because I'll get something I really like and can't remember it at all. But it's just it's honestly what I've always done, like just from years before even meeting Wind Walkers and stuff. I just that's my kind of my safe space for writing.
Fair enough.
As weird as it sounds.
Yeah.
That's no. fucking awesome.
Fair enough. As long as you're doing it safely, you know?
Oh, yeah. I'm not like pen and paper. I'm not oh, fully God. Aware of my surroundings. I always say don't tell my insurance company either way, but I am safe about it, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So what song off this album took the longest to write, and which one is your personal favorite?
It might be the same one, honestly. That first track, Feeding the Gods, was a really challenging one for me. Mainly because like the instrumentally at that point in the writing process, it was by far the most unorthodox song we had on the album. Really weird verses, and I was kind of like having a hard time catching a flow and like a good melody with it. And it's also a little bit more theatrical than I typically write. Like most of the album is, you know, writing about my own personal stuff, but yeah, this one just kind of had like a spooky feel to it, and I wanted to try matching it as much as possible. So I tried writing a song about selling your soul. As weird as that sounds out loud now that I think about it, but that was definitely a challenge because like I had nothing really to pull from because I did not sell my soul. So
yeah, it was good to know.
It felt like more like writing a story as opposed to journaling. You know what I mean? But yeah, like when it was all said and done, I was pretty hesitant with it. Even like showing the guys what I had, but when it was all said and done, it quickly became one of my favorites. I'd either say that or the bends was a really fun one to do.
All right.
For sure. So that's the first song on the album. You said weird verses, you were a little hesitant to show the guys. So what made you put that as the first track, putting your, I guess, the weirdest foot forward?
Yeah, I think like instrumentally it was just kind of like this cool like intro to it, you know. You know, I definitely wrote with a little bit of a metaphor in mind, you know, because like it definitely feels like, you know, I'm 30, I've been doing this for a really long time, chasing this dream, you know. It can definitely feel like you actually sell your soul at times, you know. It takes all of your mental capacity, you're obsessed with it, you know, for over half my life. I think it kind of established what kind of stuff we went through to, you know, give you the rest of the album, all the other songs you hear after that point. It just felt right to us, honestly.
Makes sense.
Gotcha.
And in terms of like the fact that you kind of wrote that song more so as a story and the rest of the record is just pulled from personal experience, do like looking ahead, more writing, are you going to be doing more of the story driven or are you looking to just keep writing from personal experience?
You know, yeah, like I definitely like bottle up my emotions. So like writing definitely helps me like confront, you know, things that I'm dealing with. It always has. But I gotta say it was a blast because even The Overlook, like I'm sitting here saying the whole album is about personal stuff. Feeding the Gods and The Overlook are both pretty theatrical. Because The Overlook I wrote about The Shining, which is like my favorite story, favorite movie. You know, so yeah, I've definitely been dabbling with it a little bit more than usual. But yeah, I like to play around with it a little bit more. Like the thing I love about music is people being able to connect with it. So I'd be a little more scared of, you know, that connection being lost a little, you know, but as long as I'm having fun, I guess that's all that matters, right?
Absolutely.
For sure.
At some point you might run out of personal things to write about.
Yeah. 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 My life's been a lot better these last couple years. So.
Yeah. That's good. That's good.
I make
great.
That joke a lot. Like, yeah, man, I need something bad to happen so I can have some more material. Yeah.
Need a serious trauma to happen right about now.
I know. I need some trauma, guys.
No, fuck that. So would you be able to tell us where your headspace is at while you're creating this record?
Yeah, it was a lot of reflecting, honestly, because that was probably like my darkest point in my life about 5 years ago. So there was a lot of writing that had to do with a lot of stuff with that, you know. There's also things that I wrote about that I was dealing with currently, you know. I guess I'm always kind of in a darker headspace when I write. I grew up on emo music. That's just how music like affects me, you know what I mean? I like darker music a little bit. But yeah, it was a lot of reflecting. It was a lot of reflecting, and it helped honestly things that I dealt with, you know, 4 or 5 years before I was writing these songs. It kind of helped me look at it in a different light, and it was a very beneficial album for me personally, to be honest with you.
That's fuck good. Yeah. Well, happy to hear that. So how do you recommend your fans to listen to this album for the first time? Should you do it in the car with friends, in the dark with headphones on? Is workout album, party album? What do you personally recommend?
I think just being a musician, I'd say do it with some headphones. Our producers are absolutely insane. And like just like the little nuances they put throughout the album. There's so many like stacked production and just like cool little details in there, you know. you know, just from like weird percussion to like we sampled Nope in the Bends. So like just like a lot of cool little things like that, you know. I definitely think the headphones are worth it, but I think it's mixed in such a way that you can enjoy it either way, whether it's a car just playing off the phone, you know. But headphones, people, you need them.
So when you say Nope, do you mean the Peele movie?
Yeah.
Shit. So that's the second movie you mentioned, because you mentioned The Shining. So you draw a lot of inspiration from other.
Yeah, well, that was really our producer, one of our producers, John Eberhard. We were watching. So that last song, The Bends, was like the last day of our last studio trip, and we had to finish the 11th song, and then we didn't start writing the vocals for it till like 9 p.m. that last night, and we were able to like rip through it. So it's a pretty cool story there. Like, that was the one time I didn't write in my car. I locked myself in the vocal booth and was like, what do you think of this, you know? But yeah, there's that scream when that little weird thing, no spoilers for anyone who hasn't seen it, but the weird thing flies by, there's the screaming of people.
Yeah.
So yeah, if you listen to it again, listen for that. It's really cool. So he was the one that was pretty inspired by it. We were talking about how cool the sound design was in Jordan Peele movies. And
yeah,
he had to throw it in.
Oh, I fucking love that. Hell yeah. Hell yeah. So this one should be super, super quick. Off the top of your head, I want you to describe this album for new listeners in 3 words. No more, no less.
Emotional.
Okay.
Big. Mm-hmm. And fun. I think it's fun, too.
Nice. For sure. Oh, yeah.
And in that same train of thought, is there a certain feeling or emotion you want listeners to have while going through the album?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely don't want people to like think it's a fully negative album, just because I said earlier, you know, I did a lot of healing and growing from it, you know, and I think that's especially like with the album art, the name of it and everything. I think it shows that you can go through a lot of bullshit and still come out stronger, using those bad experiences to grow as a person, to be honest.
Mm, for sure.
I love that. Hell yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. So are you able to touch on any particularly challenging or standout moments from the creation of this record, positive or negative?
Yeah, I mean, like, the start of it was really challenging, because we met online, like, through a friend. I had a buddy who was recording with the same producers, and he had heard about Windwalkers looking for a vocalist, sent him some of my stuff. We talked a little on Facebook, you know, they sent me some demos, and then next thing you know, I'm sleeping in a room with them and recording with producers I've never worked with, you know, producers that I respect a ton, like, and same with the rest of the band, so... I think it was really challenging to kind of find my voice for a bit and just kind of get comfortable in that scenario. Mm-hmm. But they made it easy for me, you know, but it's definitely weird. Like I had never traveled by myself. I was terrified of flying.
Yeah.
a little bit in my shell at the time too. But yeah, it smoothed out a lot. And like, honestly, from that point on, it was just a breeze. There was really no other challenging parts except, you know, like the business aspect of stuff. We suck at that.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I feel like everyone does. It's okay.
It's like social media and stuff. Like we're all in our 30s. We don't understand TikTok.
Like, what the crazy. Fuck's TikTok? I still don't understand it, man. I don't
people want to see that, really?
Dude, you got to post 3 times a day, every single day across all the short form platforms.
That's what we're told, and that is too much. I got a job, you know what I mean? Like,
I got a fucking life, man.
So for this question, I want you to picture you're on tour, you're at a gas station for a rest stop. What is your snack of choice?
If they got the white cheddar Cheez-Its, we're starting there, and I drink a lot of Red Bull. So I think I could make a whole tour just living off of that.
Damn, what flavor Red Bull?
I like it straight. I like the I think it's like coconut berry, but like I keep going back to the just good old fashioned Red Bull, like just the straight flavor.
Damn.
I see that you feel differently.
It just to me, it just tastes like medicine. Maybe I just had a bad one, or I was just having a bad night.
Or maybe I have a problem.
It could go either way.
Red Bull problem. It's getting to the point now that I'm getting older. Like I'll drink one, and I'm like, I feel my heart a little bit more than I should be feeling my heart.
Like, yeah. Getting a little too fast right now.
We'll take a couple days off, a little cleanse.
Exactly. Yeah. And on the topic of food, if the band was a dish, what dish would the band be, and why?
Oh man, that's a really good question.
Thank you.
Maybe I'm biased. I'm gonna say a pizza. I think it's you know, we got a little bit of everything for everyone. Mm-hmm. It's good. It's simple. Yeah, we're a good pepperoni pizza.
Hell yeah!
All right, we'll take it.
Perfect.
And for the last couple questions, it's going to shift completely away from music and go straight to death row.
Boom.
So if you're on death row, what would your last meal be with a drink?
Oh, man. You guys are so good at these questions. You got me thinking.
Thank you.
Last meal with a drink. All right. We'll do biscuits and gravy.
Ooh.
I'm a big biscuits and gravy fan. I'm a sucker for that. And get me that Red Bull, baby. Let's go.
All right. You're going out feeling your heart just a little bit too much.
Yeah. See if I can take myself out before they get me, right?
I was going to say, yeah. And if you could live in one fictional world for a week, where would you live?
For a week.
Week.
You know, I'm a fan of Harry Potter.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd say Hogwarts. I'm not the biggest fan of Harry Potter. You know, I haven't watched it in a while, but I've always been fascinated with that damn place. A lot of cool, fun things to discover. Let's go Hogwarts.
Absolutely. Hogwarts. Do you know what house you are?
Yeah, I do. I do. I grew up thinking I was a Hufflepuff my whole life, but I took the legit test probably about a year ago, and turns out I'm a Slytherin.
No, that's fine. Hufflepuff is my house.
I think I'm a pretty chill, nice fella. So I probably wouldn't fit in that house, but the colors are dope, I guess. We'll find a way.
You know, there's nothing wrong with, I think it's what, black and green?
Yeah, black and green. Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that. I wish I was Hufflepuff. I like that vibe more. I think badgers are cool, but...
Exactly. You know. You're welcome into Hufflepuff anytime.
Yeah, I guess I'm the antagonist, baby. Let's go.
Yeah.
All right. And I've thought of asking the last question. Every single person that we've spoken to have said that it is the most important question. What's your favorite color?
Red.
Specific shade of red?
I like it darker. I like it darker, like a maybe a little closer to maroon. Red and gold is my favorite combo. If you look at the album art, that kind of came through. I didn't pick that necessarily, but it worked out.
Nice. Yep.
Right. Hell yeah. So as I said, that's all the questions you have to say. Is anything that you would like to plug?
Yeah, man. Just I don't know when this is coming out, but
a couple weeks.
You know, if you get the chance, listen to this album. You know, we spent two very long years on this album. Lots of flying, lots of work, every piece of ourselves into this thing. So even one listen through, you know, means a lot to us. So if you guys got the time, yeah, that's all I got.
Oh yeah. All right. Well, thank you, Sal. It's been Trevor from Windwalkers, and we have been the Good Noise Podcast.